sustain more of those rents. I'm one of those people that are disabled, and I live on a fixed income. And I can sustain maybe one or two more rent increases, but no more. You hear the plea of your citizens, and then you hear the plea of the people with the money. Make a choice. Please make a good choice this time around and represent your people and not the money people. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
Hi. I'm Koya Cressman. I'm from a complex in North Portland that has done mass no-cause evictions on all of us in the building. Sorry, I have something written that I should read. I'm here with 25 families from North Portland in the overflow building. We all came here to have our voices be heard. We depend on our city leaders to intervene in times of crisis, and we are in a crisis. Renters all over the city, not just us in North Portland, are experiencing astronomical rent hikes and no-cause evictions, being displaced out of our homes and neighborhoods. I live in St. John's. I love St. John's. I don't know if you guys have been there. There's a big Paul Bunyan. And every time we pass Paul Bunyan, we say, "Hi, Paul." I have a six-year-old daughter who is in the babysitting room right now. Every time we pass over the St. John's Bridge, we know we're coming home. My daughter attends school in North Portland at James John. She takes Spanish on Mondays, ballets on Tuesdays at her after-school program. Leaving her school mid-year would be devastating to us. This legislation provides us a chance to stay in our neighborhoods. The money this legislation provides us a chance to maintain stability with our families. It gives us a chance to not be insignificant to the powers that be. That's all we're asking for, is a chance to stay in our neighborhoods. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to come down. It's very helpful.
Next people are, I have our Lisa Micklin, I think it is. Sorry, she has a child in the child care room. Angela Thomas, Timothy Marcroft, Laura Young, and I'm sorry, I accidentally called Jessica Greenlee. It should be Laura Young. And then the last person I show will be Hilda Hernandez, off the early testifiers who need to leave.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hello. Good afternoon. My name is Tim Marcroft. So one of the impediments that's been put in place of this policy is a threat, a legal threat, that says that this policy is equivalent to rent control. That, to me, sounds like up is down and fire is wet. This proposed policy is not rent control, and I am not the only one who thinks so. For example, the city of West Hollywood requires that a tenant whose tenancy is terminated through no fault of their own be paid a relocation fee, which is substantially more generous than the one on the table here, by their landlord before notice can be given. This applies to all properties, including those that are not covered by rent control. Relocation assistance is not rent control. The city of Seattle requires that tenants be given relocation assistance if their landlord terminates tenancy without a just cause. Seattle and the entire state of Washington have a ban on rent control. The entire country of Japan has a ban on rent control. They have a very stable housing market, and also, if a landlord wishes to terminate a lease early or raise the rent of an existing tenant, they must either have just cause or pay an eviction fee to the evicted tenant. Relocation assistance is not rent control. The proposed relocation assistance policy is common sense and not terribly generous. Los Angeles's relocation assistance policy pays out, at the high end, over $19,000. It's common sense. It's a response to a dire need. Other cities, big and small, have tried it, and I urge you to vote yes on this much-needed protection for renters without amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. afternoon.
Good afternoon. I have yet to meet you, Mayor. My name is Laura Young. I am the chair of the Cully Association of Neighbors, and I'm also the director of the Cully Boulevard Alliance.
Thank you.
So thank you. Thank you for having me, and thank you for having this very important issue coming before the council. Today I'm representing the Cully Boulevard Alliance. We have, as a board, unanimously approved support of this ordinance, so I'm just going to read you my comments, and then I'll get on my way. The Cully Boulevard Business and Community Alliance wishes to express our great appreciation of the ongoing commitment of Mayor Wheeler and this council to provide better protections for renters in Portland's ever-changing housing market, and to voice our unequivocal support of the emergency relocation ordinance. The Cully neighborhood remains among the top old Portland neighborhoods most at risk of gentrification and involuntary displacement of low-income residents. The housing storm is hitting Cully's renting population hard and fast. With virtually nowhere to relocate within the community, most tenants facing no-fault eviction and skyrocketing rents are facing forced relocation outside the community, and many are at risk of homelessness. The situation at the Normandy Apartments is the latest example of the distressing trend in our community of no-fault eviction or effective evictions, where 18 families, including 26 regular elementary school kids, will be forced to relocate outside the Cully neighborhood for lack of affordable housing options within the neighborhood. The families there were, as you've already heard, have given 90 days notice of 100% rent increase. Some were $800 per month, so it was more than 100%. In the apartment building was without any notice of intent to sale being provided by the owner, one option you might consider as an amendment. The lack of legal protections for renters and entitlements to landowners that encourage this practice are at best unfair, and in this case, simply inhumane. The problem we face in Cully in its simplest form is one of supply and demand. We need more affordable rental and homeownership options across the economic spectrum. Our most urgent and dire need is for affordable and moderately priced market rate rental units. There are simply not enough vacant rental units to house those being displaced within the community. This means the 26 kids will be ripped out of school mid-year and forced to pick up the pieces of their lives somewhere else with the school community, where school and community supports that allow them to thrive in Cully, the only home they know, may not exist. Until we as a city and as a community develop alternatives to address these disparities, we must take action to address the immediate needs of our most vulnerable populations. Therefore, we urge this council to support the emergency relocation ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was told there were some people from coming in, your staff.
From the Titan building.
Jamie. Here they come.
While we're waiting, I just would like to add for the benefit of my colleagues that Rigler School is unique in that it is a dual language school, Spanish and English, and they have been able to provide support and create an amazing school community there for these many Spanish-speaking families that we saw today, in a district that is really seriously struggling to serve families in just those circumstances. So it's an example of far-reaching, you know, perhaps incidental, but far-reaching consequences for tenants who are being displaced. Okay, we have three people testifying from Titan Manor, I believe.
Well, they're getting settled. Commissioner Fish and Saltzman and I were at Rigler when we passed the Cully Concordia plan. So it's an example of a neighborhood that's really a community, and the school is the center of it. It's fantastic to hear from them again. But I wish it was not under these circumstances.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Buenas tardes. Buenas tardes. Primeramente, gracias por dejarnos la oportunidad de estar acá. En el norte de Portland hay una comunidad que somos todos nosotros y más personas que no pueden asistir porque están trabajando, porque no pueden venir, X cosa. Estamos aquí representando a un complejo de departamentos que se nos ha el motivo de alejar, de separarnos, pero en esa comunidad hay gente que está unida. En esa comunidad hay personas que el dinero es importante, pero nosotros hemos aprendido que lo más importante es estar unidos, ayudando al que puede.
Her name is Hilda Hernandez, and she comes from the Titan Manors community. She is in support of the ordinance, and it states that, yes, the help is very good and granted, and she is in support of the ordinance. However, more than the monetary help that they could receive, they come from a community that is very united. And the help that will be provided by this ordinance does not necessarily meet the fact that that facing this mass eviction from their community will break their community. And that's where she left it. So.
En cuanto a esto pasa, lo que más repercute son a los niños. ¿Por qué? Porque los niños que van a la escuela están preocupados de dónde se va a ir su amigo, quién me va a ayudar con la tarea, quién me va a proteger caminando a mi casa, quién nos puede cuidar bajando del bus, cruzando las calles. Y todo eso están los niños preocupados, con el corazón roto, ya no voy a ir a esta escuela, ya no voy a ir con mi vecino que me ayude en tal cosa. Ya no voy a tener ese apoyo que hemos tenido por más de 20 años.
So, Hilda says, this mass eviction affects mostly children. Children who become very aware about what the families are facing and who start internalizing the worry and start asking questions about where is my friends going to go. And she's talking about not only those who are facing the eviction, but children who are very united are attending the same school and start asking the questions of, and then the community ask, how are they going to make it to school? How do they cross the street? Who do they rely? Where is that neighbor who they rely on a regular basis.
Entonces, estamos aquí para que aprueben las leyes por el futuro de los niños que son ellos, para que lleguen a ser grandes. Si desalojan a las familias, es un rompimiento total y repercute mucho porque muchos niños tal vez ya no sigan la escuela, tal vez ya no se gradúen, tal vez ya no van a ir a los high schools, a las universidades, los que van a ir al high school. Entonces, son muchas cosas que estamos preocupados, los padres, la comunidad, porque se rompe todo, se rompe toda una familia, le digo, como más de 20 años. Y eso es todo lo que tengo que decir y gracias.
She states, this is a community who has been united for about 20 years. And so this breaking of the community will mean that a lot of them will go into the streets. The relocation will mean that they will not rely on the education they have been receiving for so many years, and that their future will certainly be uncertain. So she is in full support of the ordinance, which helps families have a leeway, but they would certainly rather stay where they're actually living.
Good afternoon.
Thank you.
I'm Deborah Lara, Mayor Wheeler and council members. I hope I can maintain my composure here. It's a very stressful time for all of us, and it's very hard seeing my neighbors and feeling, you know, the sorrow and the sorrow of the children, and we are a tight community. It's a very lovely community because we know our neighbors and we get along with them, and it's a joy to see the kids running and playing, and, you know, and so I know we've already lost several families. They had to move, and so they've already left. Now, in my household, I'm disabled, and my roommate is a senior citizen, so I know that this may be affecting more than just 70 families because there's two families in one apartment where I live. And so it really does displace a lot of people. And I would just like to say that I appreciate what you're doing. I hope it works. I hope it goes through because we need something to just stop people from coming in and just treading on us. And that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to start on the regular sign-up now. The first three are Luis Marquez, I believe is the last name, Jillian Wisegram, and Megan Kidd. They will be...
For a break at 4:30.
Are you breaking at 4:30?
Okay. We have 100.
Wait, are we going to...
I think some will be short
testimony. Oh, okay. This will put us past.
You go ahead.
My name is Dr. Luis Manriquez. I'm a primary care doctor in Portland. I'm here today with the Metropolitan Alliance for Common Good. Before I begin, I'd like to ask some of the members to stand. We've lost some with time, but I wanted to ask them to stand. And the Health Equity Circle. I'm here on behalf of my patients because housing is a health issue. We tend to think about healthcare and disease when we think about what affects health, but it is the social situations, like insecure housing, that have the biggest impact. These issues are called the social determinants of health. The social determinants are behind who gets sick and who doesn't. They are the causes of the causes. You know, this cold weather reminds me of a patient I took care of recently, a pregnant woman who was having breathing problems because of the gas fumes from the heater in her car. She couldn't afford rent, and so she was living in her car and using the heater all night to stay warm, even though she knew that that was causing a harm to herself. I'm here because whenever a patient loses their home due to rising rents, or the family has to double up or triple up because housing isn't affordable, it makes it harder to treat their medical issues, the diabetes, high blood pressure, and asthma. Once people are without housing, it can be impossible to get medical problems under control until the housing problem is solved. In my view, as an evidence-based physician, this ordinance is a form of preventive medicine. I ask you to vote yes to help protect the health of our city. Thank you.
Thank you.
Doctor, you'll be happy to know that at least one class at OHSU has been asked to send us messages about this and is really looking at it the same way.
My students are here in the
All
hall.
Right.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Mayor Wheeler, commissioners, my name is Jillian Wisegram, and I'm here today with MACG. In July of 2015, I was evicted from my home at Northeast 122nd and Halsey. We had lived there for a little over 2 years. My husband and I shared a large one-bedroom apartment with our then 2.5-year-old daughter. Since we don't drive, the neighborhood was great for us. We had easy access to affordable groceries, parks, transit and clothing, medical needs, within a comfortable walking distance of about a mile. At the time, we were both students at Portland Community College, and I was working part-time at Albertina Kerr Center's campus on 162nd. My commute was about 20 minutes, including walking to the bus, and work was about a block from the bus stop. Our rent was around $750 a month. When we were forced to move, we were given 60 days' notice. The management company told us we could relocate to any open apartment in the same complex, except that we no longer met their income requirements. We were unable to find an apartment in Portland, and we were forced to look in Gresham. Luckily, we were able to find a landlord who had an available duplex and had no income requirements, other than that you had to have a job. We were able to move in relatively quickly. Rent was $1,200. In order to afford our rent increase, we had to go on food stamps. Our moving costs were about $2,500, which we didn't have since most of our income was coming from financial aid. We borrowed that money from my parents, who had just moved to Portland and were trying to sell their old house, causing a financial hardship for them as well. It took us a while to pay that back. Our new home is located in downtown Gresham, close to Gresham High School. In the last year, we have seen several lockouts at the school due to threats of violence. There was a stabbing recently in the only city park within walking distance. My commute to Albertina Kerr increased to 30 minutes, including a much longer walk down 162nd. When I got my new job in downtown Portland, my commute became 45 minutes when it could have been 30 or less. My husband's commute to PCC's Sylvania campus is now longer by 30 minutes or more, depending on transit. He sometimes has to take night classes that get out at 9 p.m., and he waits sometimes for over 45 minutes downtown to get a MAX that goes past Ruby Junction, and then he's back up at 6 to get to school the next morning at 9 a.m. Because there's no grocery store by our new home, we're dependent on my parents to take us shopping. The quality of our life went down in many ways when we were evicted. Longer commutes, less family time, fewer resources nearby, and just not being as independent as we were before. Being displaced like we were brings a lot of hardship. I urge you to adopt this ordinance to help families like mine.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Mayor Wheeler and commissioners, my name is Megan Kidd, and I am the co-chair of MACG's housing team. A MACG member who is part of the Latino community wanted to be here today to share her story, but recent actions by federal ICE agents against immigrant members of our community made her too afraid to be in any public place unnecessarily, so I'm here to share her story with you. My name is Ophelia Chavez. My husband and I have three children. In 2015, after living in an apartment at Northeast 21st and Widler for 7 years, my family was given a 90-day eviction notice because they said they were going to fix the apartment up and needed all the tenants out. We were paying $9.45 in rent, and we always paid on time. My husband and I were so worried about our situation, we didn't know what we would do. We started looking for another place, and luckily we were able to find a 2-bedroom apartment nearby on Northeast 18th in Schuyler, and we loved it because it was still walking distance to our jobs and our children's schools. But the rent was $14.25. And we had to pay for utilities, which we didn't have to do before. On top of that, it cost us $2,500 to move in, and that was very hard for us. We only lived there for 1 year because we couldn't continue to pay the high rent and all our bills, too. The water bill was especially insane. The month we finally moved, it was $250. And another time before that, it was $315 for just 1 month in a small apartment. We didn't get the bill from the water department. It came from our landlord every month. After a year, we didn't renew our contract while we looked for another place to live. Without a contract, the last month's rent was $1,800. Our only option was to move in with a relative who lived in the neighborhood and was renting a house with 3 bedrooms and 1 bath. Three families are now sharing the 1,300 square foot house. I'm very relieved to have a home, but living in such close space with so many people is very stressful, and we get depressed sometimes. But I worry most about how all the change is affecting my children. Please pass the ordinance before you today. Families like mine need help.
Thank you. And if I could ask you, Carla, after the next panel of three, I'd like to take a 10-minute break, and I'd like to just poll my colleagues on the path forward informally, one-on-one, during that 10-minute break. Thank you for your testimony.
The next panel is, actually, we have to take Ramona Foster, Mike Nuss, and Gary Whitehill Bazaruk, I believe is the last name. And then followed by them will be Diane Frank, Eric Leisterbros, and Christopher Frick. I'll
be over here. And just to restate that, after these three, we're going to take a 10-minute break. Thank you. Good afternoon.
4, 5, and 6.
And
there you go. Sorry.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. Should I start?
Yeah, please. Go ahead.
My name is Mike Nuss. I'm a local real estate entrepreneur. I have a very small company in the city named Rare Bird. I have also been working living and breathing affordable housing for the past 3 years, working in the trenches with the mom and pop owners of this city and the tenants that they have. Before I get started today, I'd just like to say 2 points that boiled to my brain while sitting in the audience. One, thank you, Council, for the boldness of bringing such an ordinance to this table. We are in a housing crisis. There is no doubt about that when you look through the room. I do have to say that it's very sad to watch the way that's been brought to the table with so much disrespect that it continues to largen the divide in the room. Donald Trump politics will not solve the solution. I'm not going to sit here and get on the tunnel vision of the reality of what's going on with the tenants. It's real. It is 100% real. I see it on a daily basis. I'm also not going to sit and focus on the tunnel vision of the unintended consequences. I'm going to bring stories of real-life mom-and-pop owners, their tenants, my tenants to the table so you can see who we are. And I also want to provide a possible solution that I hope the City Council seriously considers. So I'll get on with my stories. I'm going to talk about seller G and A, owners of 14 units within a couple miles of here. When we met them, they had 14 units. They now have 10. We bought a 4-unit building from them. They lived in one unit. One tenant moved in with another tenant, and the fourth tenant was moving out when we bought it. I'm proud to say that we have 3 market rent tenants in that building now, subsidizing the tenant that we inherited that is a minority school teacher, a minority social worker, and is paying $400 less than market rent. I'm going to talk about owners D and W that owned 8 units in the city of Portland that sold us a 6-unit building. I didn't know the tenants when I made the offer and we had an agreed upon purchase price of that building. 5 minutes of walking on site, I knew we had to completely rearrange that purchase of that transaction. All 6 tenants were past homeless, past alcoholics, past veterans, and they were all getting privately subsidized rent, 60% of market rent. I'm proud to say they've lived there for a year since we've owned the building, absolutely no rent increase, and they still are privately subsidized. I'm going to talk about S&C, owner of 9 units. We bought a 3-unit building from then. We just recently, unfortunately, had to give a 10% total cost of living increase. 5% of that comes from water increase. 5% came from rent increase. They're still paying $600 a month when market rent's $800, and their water bills are still 20% of our rent that we get, which we pay. I'm going to talk about M&G.
Sir, I have to say, before the mayor's going to cut you off because of time. And
yeah.
You
can
say,
I get to my solution?
Well, I was going to ask you to just give us your solution. Yeah.
Yes, gotcha. Mom and pa owners, 20-unit buildings and less, own 80% of the units in our town. If you can remove mom-pa owners from the equation, don't legislate based on portfolio size. Legislate based on building size and owner turnover. This is where the problem truly is. If we can understand who your enemy are, the larger developers that have a huge impact in our marketplace, and who your allies are, the mom-pa owners like myself, the mom-pa's in this room who want to privately subsidize our units, need to be brought to the table. I'm not trying
Sir,
to.
We're going to have to, because
yeah.
We got 100 people
okay.
Following you.
Okay.
You're saying you define mom and pop as 20 units or fewer.
I do.
I'm not arguing. I'm just asking.
Yes.
And you've made
Correct.
2 other suggestions. So thank you very much.
Yes. One last thing. Mom and pop owners can't handle a $10,000 to $20,000 increase to their price. These are the people we need to buy buildings. The developers can write the $100,000 checks for the Normandy and the Titan Manor. That's
thank
what
you.
We need to control.
Thank
Please
you.
Bring us to the table.
Please
thank
send
you.
Us the rest in writing.
Yes, I've got it. I will. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi. Good afternoon. And by the way, that goes for anybody. If you decide you can't stay, we will take written testimony as well. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. My name is Gary Whitehill-Bazuke, and I've been a realtor in the city for over 20 years, and I work primarily with investors. I see, and most of my clients see, this ordinance at first glance may look good on paper, but the long-term negative unintended consequences are great. Primarily and most significantly, those consequences will be a shrinking of the number of units in the rental pool. And the reason is that most people who own these properties are small investors, and they bought these properties for supplementing retirement or it's a college fund or a home for themselves in the future when they want to downsize or for their parents when they age. These people, for the most part, never keep their rents up with current market rents. Their goal is to keep their tenants for longer periods of time. It's not uncommon for them to have the same tenant for 5 years or longer, hence the rents are lower. Now they're feeling threatened. The legislature in Salem has bills before talking about rent freezes or rent control, and now we have this. And I had a big section here, but your amendment takes all of that away. So the question many of them have, though, is it worth it? And I've read many comments online and have had numerous conversations with clients and colleagues, and what appears to be happening is that many of them are just saying, no, it's not worth it, and they will sell their properties. If they choose to do so, other investors will not be purchasing these homes. They will become owner-occupied, thereby removing these units from the rental pool. Less units in the pool means higher rents, simple supply and demand, the opposite of what you're trying to achieve. The one thing that nearly everyone in this room can agree with is the need for affordable housing. That's a community issue. However, although it is a community issue, the only people asked to, no, forced to, contribute to the solution are private property owners. Look at the current landscape. Inclusionary zoning, people who own property zoned for apartments have just seen the value of that property reduced by a minimum of 30%. Potential rent freezes in Salem, neighborhood associations discussing becoming historical districts, thereby making it increasingly difficult for developers to build apartments. Now this. Although it's a community issue, the community is not being asked to assist in the solution. Property owners have been cast as the bad guys. I'm not certain what the community solution is, because I have little faith that the Portland community would vote for a tax increase to supplement someone's rent. But what we need is a holistic approach, not piecemeal legislation with no vision as to how each one impacts the other. Government and the community as a whole have to be part of the solution, not just one section of the community.
Thank you.
Thanks. Hi.
May I move the mic over if you could? The whole thing slides down if you want. The whole wooden structure slides. There you go.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners and Ms. Klo. I am Ramona Foster. I'm better known as Mama Mona with No One Left Behind. I work with the homeless, but I am here today representing myself. I was served Sunday night, a no-cause eviction. Last 18 years, I dedicated 100% of my life to helping less fortunate with the hands up, assisting them with different agencies that have been mentioned today. And now I need help myself. So the vote on the relocation ordinance, let each one of us today here and each one of you on the city council, I want you to know my personal experience is it's been a shock. It's raised my blood pressure now since Sunday. The owners of the complex, the 92 unit that I live in, the satellite apartments in Park Rose, was built in the 60s. I took care of the, I'm going to wrap this up. I took care of the Mrs. Johansson, who into her 90s, and she wanted the units to remain affordable for families. Well, she's passed on, and she's not happy today. I can tell you that. Anyway, I have a disability. I'm on SSI. Thanks for moving me up so I could share briefly. Vote yes, please.
Thank you. We appreciate your testimony. Thank you for being here. Thank you. So we'll recess for about 7 minutes. Thank you.
And I can do whatever you want to do.
Okay. Chloe, could I talk to you? So we have over 110 people.